Well, we've done lots of stories in recent years in praise of the increasingly popular short story, flash fiction by another name. Wellington-based writer Craig Gamble prefers his short stories on the long side and has gathered together some 16 stories that are a bit shorter than novellas and a bit longer than the average short story. Middle Distance, Long Stories of Aotearoa New Zealand is the name of the collection. Craig's here now to discuss the appeal of the long short story, along with one of the writers he selected for the collection, Jared Kane, whose story is called Ringawera. As it happens, Jared next year will be based at the International Institute of Modern Letters in Te Whanganui a Tara as its emerging Māori writer in residence. So congratulations on both counts. Kia ora kōrua. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Lynn. Lovely
Kia
to be here.
Thanks very much.
Craig, look, I'm going to start with a quote from you in the preface. I love a good preface to Middle Distance. The writer of a long story walks a difficult middle path between the sharp joy of a shorter work and the more cumulative pleasures of a novella or novel. So what is the appeal to writers prepared to walk that difficult middle path?
I think Lynn, that it gives them just that little bit of extra freedom without embarking on a very long work like a novel. It just gives them a little bit more space, and they can be, I wouldn't say indulgent, but they can certainly spend a bit more time with their characters and with their scenes and with the language. Maybe you'd be a little bit more playful and a bit more experimental. And I think that's kind of come to the fore in this collection. There's some pieces there where the writers have really taken that space and used it to the full extent, which I really love.
Is there some kind of official word count or duration? I mean, with ultra short stories, that's very finite. It's a very different.
Yes.
Now it can be in the hundreds, but when you were approaching this, did you have a word length in, or word count in mind?
We did. We said in the when we were calling for submissions, we had an open submissions period as well as shoulder tapping a few people that we love to try and get a story out of them. We had an idea of a story somewhere between about 8,000 and 12,000 words, but it wasn't meant to be a complete strict kind of formula. We wanted there to be a bit of space to do that experimentation I was talking about earlier. So yeah. I think it is a bit of a tricky one. I mean, people look at a novella and think, oh, maybe that's probably about 30,000 words, and a novel is probably anything from 75,000 words up. So sometimes there are those little arbitrary rules. But yeah, we were just aiming for something in the middle, I guess.
Of course, the great joy for an editor of a collection such as this, Craig, is when the stories start coming in and you get a chance to read them. Can you give us a feeling for the range of voices, of themes, of genres in the collection?
Sure. That was a great part of the process for me. That was the part of the process I loved the most. We got a lot of submissions. We got, over 55, I think, in the end, of these longer pieces of fiction coming in. And right from the start, there was a big variety of stuff coming in. There was some stuff that was almost pure fantasy, if you like, fantasy and science fiction. There was some stuff that was much more realist, much more what you'd call a traditional kind of voice in a short story. And then there were stories that kind of mixed the two together, which I really loved, that idea of sort of blurring the barriers between genres. I thought that's a great thing to have in a story. And there are certainly some examples in the collection where that's been done, where most of the story might seem realist. I'm thinking of Emma Sydenham's story in particular. But then you get to the end of the story and you realise that for a long part of the story, one of the main characters has actually been a ghost. So there's kind of things like that, so I love that playfulness with genre, which I think we've managed to capture in the collection.
Jared, what was the appeal to you of writing a short story that's on the longer side rather than the shorter side?
Thank you. I originally set out to be a novelist and a screenwriter, and somehow kind of got tricked into writing short stories. I'm not sure how it happened. The stories I've been writing in leading up to seeing this open call submission were about 3,000 at the longest. So it just gave me room to just stretch out a little bit to try out a few more things. I usually have several ideas for short stories running around in my head at any one time. So I basically plucked three or four of them and tried to combine them into one story. I'd always wanted to write a murder mystery type story. I love Agatha Christie books. I think she's somehow become kind of almost underrated because people know her work so well that they take it for granted almost. But she's written some amazing, amazing stuff. And I wanted to kind of emulate that a little bit. And I had a fragment of an idea for a murder mystery. So I kind of ended up building this other story around it. And it took me in unexpected places as well. So it was a really exciting time. I saw a tweet in mid-January about the open call submissions, which gave me, I think, almost exactly 6 weeks to try and come up with something. So I set it as a challenge for myself to try and write 10,000 words in 6 weeks. And I just got it finished on time. And yeah, I was so stoked that it got selected for this collection. Even if it hadn't, it would have been, you know, a really good achievement to write a 10,000 word story.
That interests me, Jared, because having read it, I don't think murder mystery would have been the genre that I immediately put it into. I mean, for me, this is kind of an epic family tragedy or drama. You know what I mean? It's many things that you've encapsulated here.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of started as a hint of a murder mystery. But then, yeah, these things kind of tend to spiral out and go in unexpected directions. And yeah, I wanted to write something. I've always wanted to write something set at Aotearoa, just because they're places with a lot of different people and a lot of drama and people coming from different areas of the country and seeing each other that often only see each other at Aotearoa. So I always thought that would be a really fun setting for a story. And I always kind of draw on my own family background and into those sorts of things. So the marae in question is loosely based on one of my family's marae up in the Hokianga. And I've also gone on to take this family that I built this story around, and I'm going to write another story set 25 years earlier based around the same similar characters as my next novel. So I always try and find. So yeah, it's coming up with this story kind of led me onto other things as well, which is very cool.
You're going to do a reading for us from Ringawera. Away you go.
Okay, so this is from the beginning, the first chapter, which is called Arani Creek. Shan's key was barely in the cafe door before the news reached her. Terrible thing, the lady from the Salvation Army's door said. That lovely old man, dead in the creek. Shan crossed Arani Creek several times a day. The path and the bridge made for an easy shortcut, skirting around the back of the hospital on the walk from her house to her cafe in town. A dog walker spotted him from the park, she heard one of the council workers saying to another. Just below the boulder trap there. Must have slipped and fallen, poor thing. Shan's hips throbbed and she paused. She didn't like to take her anti-inflammatories in the morning. Some days they fuzzed up her thoughts and other times they made her feel near manic. In summer, the creek was a series of glassy riffles moulded around any stones larger than a pebble, leaving their tops dry and dusty. The water gathered in a deep, silty-bottomed pool before gliding under the bridge and into a culvert that funneled it away from the hospital. Sometimes on her walk home, she saw swifts chase hovering insects over the pool, kissing the surface and sending out ripples like waveforms. Shan had seen the orange and white of police tape and the yellow glow of high-vis from Arani Road on her way to work that morning. She had altered her route. Police had a way of eyeing her brown skin and curly black hair that she didn't have the energy for. Anyone know who he was? She asked. Her barrister Brian shook his head. If Brian didn't know, no one in town could know yet. They've brought in cops from Hamilton, he said over the shriek of the milk steamer, and they're not talking. Terrible way to go, the waitress said, leaning heavily on the counter. Order up, Shan repeated. Imagine being alone out there in the cold. It wasn't cold last night, Shan said. She remembered her thighs sticking to each other in bed. Terrible, Brian said, shaking his head. Shan pictured the white of the moon and the orange of the streetlights glittering on water that barely altered its path around a crumpled body. It wouldn't have been quiet. The cicadas had been screeching at full volume, and even in drought, the creek gurgled and chattered. She tried not to compare it to a too hot house, with every window tightly shut, the only sounds the mechanical blast of the central heating and the beep of the syringe driver. She shrugged. I can think of worse ways to go.
Thank you, Jared, for that very much. Craig, I want to bring you back in here. I started by mentioning this move towards the ultra-short story flash fiction. I don't know if that's a perceived reflection that readers these days have a very short attention span, but I get a sense you hope that this collection will remind readers of the joy of a story that just needs more time to reveal itself.
Yes, I think I was trying to get at that a bit, Lynn. I sort of think of the book in a way as a set of DVDs of a TV show. You might watch one episode a night, and you might save the next episode up for the next night or the next week. And the same with the book. You can sort of read one of these stories of an evening, and it might take you an hour or so, but you can still get it done in the evening. But for that time, you can just be find an escape from the everyday, as many things can give to you. But I'm sort of hoping these stories are long enough so that you can really, really get into the world that you're experiencing when you read them, and you can really get into the characters. Yeah, I mean, there are stories like Jack Barrowman's story, Dead City, where he's created an entire world which he builds very quickly and in a detailed way over the course of the 10,000 words, and you can really fall into that and be immersed in it. And that's kind of what I'm hoping people will do when they take up the collection.
Now, Mihi, thank you both very much. Craig Gamble and Jared Kane, Middle Distance, Long Stories of Aotearoa New Zealand, is published by Victoria University Press.